the consciousness of separation. It doesn't sound like a real encouraging title. But the reason that we have to identify it is what Gary said. If you don't understand those areas where there's separation in your life based on your belief systems, so we have a lot of belief systems, you won't know what's that barrier, what stands in your way. And this message is, I've shared part of this message I've known for a while. Matter of fact, it was taught by a friend of mine, you know, years ago. And I didn't understand the significance of that teaching until a few weeks ago when I got further revelation about it. And so you'll have to forgive me because some of this is very new to me. So it's trying to verbalize that in words clearly might not be clear, but I know we'll get further clarification on it, and maybe Kay and Gary will expand on it for us later this week or in the future so we can develop this more. But what hit me, what told me how important this was, is when I read a certain passage after I'd first heard the message originally using these same scriptures, I read it again in a different way, and it really opened up to me a window that I think is very important. It's going to sound controversial, so I want you to bear with me and listen through to the end, okay? And we got to try to keep this within the context of what I'm sharing, okay? That will help us. Just like when we read scripture, everyone knows when you read a book, you know about the author, you know where he's coming from, you know who the audience is, you know why he wrote the book. But we go in scripture and we're just sloppy about all that. And that's why when you go in there, you see contradiction. Well, to the guy who wrote it, there wasn't contradiction. So if we don't know what he was talking about and why, and the fact that they're on a journey too, Paul was on a journey, there's a lot of stuff in there. So I don't like to go in and say there's contradiction. I just say I don't know what they're talking about. And you'll find it makes it a lot more clear. Because Jesus was on a journey too. And we're going to talk about that. And this message is entitled, The Serpent on the Pole. I found that the revelation of this, if there is such a thing, and again, bear with me, is a shortcut. And I love shortcuts. I always take them. And I've gotten in trouble a couple of times, taking them, tore up cars, blown up engines, things like that, but I still do it anyway. Why? So, the shortcut, and that is, you must know your personal devil intimately. I got some props here. Now, that doesn't sound very pretty, does it? Doesn't sound very nice. But until we understand everything that's opposed to your reward, to your reality, if you don't know that intimately, it will trick you and have the capacity to hold you in bondage of fear and death. This lie, as it says in Scripture, is so intense that it will deceive the very elect. Well, how could it deceive the very elect? Because the illusion is so deep that you don't know it. So not only do you not know it, you defend it and promote it, the illusion. That's what Einstein said, that this illusion's very, very stubborn. And that's what we're going to focus in on today. So if someone calls it to your attention, like I'm doing right now, you could feel judged or criticized. Yet, in all of that, it is really you who sends out the judgment and criticism and creates this environment that promotes this lie. The person that you think you are is your enemy. The person you really are has none. Every thought you've ever had about yourself is your enemy. Jesus said, take no thought. I talked to you last night about dwelling in the moment that's desireless. Have any of you ever felt that? I mean, we say we feel it, yet we still have some program we want to see come in the future. Has there ever been a place where you didn't have a program? How long have we been in this place where we're content? For a day? For a week? For a month? Just no desires. And we say, yes, yes, you know, I feel that way and I've done that. But yet with our tongue, the serpent's tongue, if you listen to that, if you learn to listen to that tongue, it's your Geiger counter. It's the barometer that tells you where you are at. It speaks your heart. Out from the heart, the tongue speaks. So you've got to listen to your tongue. Don't sit there and tell me how you've known this. And I mean, people say all the time, oh, that was good, and I knew that. And yet next week, they say just the opposite. The wisdom from above is first pure and gentle and easily understood, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So where does the hypocrisy come from? From this little devil right here, this guy. That's where it comes from. And we protect him. We think this is who we are. And we have a God that this devil worships. He has a God too. So now Lois, where is Lois? Lois helped me with this. I was so excited when I was developing this message for this weekend. I was on Facebook and Lois posted this nice little poster up on Facebook. Face your demons. Now the devil, the serpent is your tongue, the devil is your mind, the demons are the thoughts. Okay? It's very clear in Scripture. Okay? Now, if you go around saying you don't have them, it means you're still there. That's what we're trying to talk about. That's what I want to talk about today. I'm love, and I'm all this, and I'm that. And it's absolutely true, but you don't know it. You don't really know it because you're still dwelling in who you think you are. You're still dwelling in your belief systems. Now listen, I've still got some. I'm going to raise my hand and I'm up here sharing this with you. I have to learn this. I'm learning it, as Gary says. It's unfolding. And that's why I want to hear more about it. Because some of these passages, when I set this scene for you and you read these passages, you're going to see it. And it's just shocking how clear it becomes. For if a man think himself to be something, what you think about yourself, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now that's a pretty deep illusion. Even say, reading that verse sort of makes your brain just sort of spin around. For if a man think himself to be something, his own opinion of himself, when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now Jesus, here he is, everybody thinks he's God, right? Which isn't true. Jesus wasn't God. Jesus was the Son of God, who said in John almost 12 times, the Son can do nothing of himself. And as he got towards chapter 16, he had a huge crowd, you know. They didn't hear him. And he turned to him and scowled at him and said, I tell you, the flesh profiteth nothing. And they finally heard him. And you remember, everybody left except the disciples. And he turned to Peter and said, are you going to leave too? And he said, no, thou hast the words of eternal life. So as Gary was sharing with us, there was enough of a window open for him to at least stay right then. I mean, he left later, didn't he? But at the present time, he stayed with him. For if you as a man believe in your mind that you are something other, independent, right? I've got my own thinking. I've got my own decisions I'm making. One of the biggest illusions that's part of this is the belief in free will. Because if you're somebody that believes you've got a free will, you're other. You're other. You're creating your own world. You're pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. And you've already got everything. You're already sitting on a treasure chest. You're out here scratching, trying to make a living by the sweat of your brow. So we're believing that we're something other than who we are. When you're nothing apart from God, you are deceiving yourself. This is why the devil is called the father of lies. What's a father? It's something that nurtures you, right? So you've got this father that's nurturing this basically hell management plan. That's what it is. It is. It's a hell management plan. And we're doing this program and we need that program and the government's corrupt. And I mean, we've had wars and rumors of wars forever, folks. We're going to talk about more about that tomorrow and about the world. So I don't want to go into that now. But in Corinthians 4:4, it said, the God of this world, the father of lies, has blinded the mind. Hello? There's the source right there. Right? So who's the God of this world? Who's the father of lies? Your own mind. It's not some being out there. There isn't. This guy isn't out there, guys. He's not running around out there doing something to you. Okay? It's the deep illusion. Okay? So I'm not saying you shouldn't love him, but you got to at least identify him, okay? Right? Don't be afraid of it. The devil's not a bad word, folks. That's what we got to realize. That's you're going to find out it's a very positive word today that you need to be intimate with. So when you go out into the world and you listen to this, it's telling you, did I really learn something this weekend? Am I learning from these messages? Is it sticking? Is it hanging on somewhere? And to me, don't worry about your thoughts. Don't worry about the thoughts. But love, the love in you, will start to put a brake on it in between here and here. And it might not happen right away. I've got some pet peeves with my wife, okay, that it's just, you know, we've been together a long time, you know. You know, and familiarity breeds contempt. That's what he says. Familiarity breeds contempt. And so, I don't know which one it is. I've got more than one. I found myself, after I went on my little tirade, a huge heaviness come over me. And I ran back up and I said, you know, that's not me. That's not how I think about you. I know wherever she's at. Where are you? Back there. I know. I touched this woman's hand a couple months ago when we were getting ready to go to sleep, and I had an overwhelming feeling that I was touching my own hand. You ever felt that? The Father said, you're touching your own hand. Now, why would I want to mistreat myself? That's why he said, love your neighbor as yourself, because it is yourself. And you can say, well, you got to be good to yourself first, but if you can't be good to your neighbor, it's the same thing. So you say, well, I don't want to judge myself, but if you're judging your neighbor, you're judging yourself. There is no separation in any of it. So I transpose this verse a little bit. If you go in and read it, I call it Moose Amplified, because that's my nickname, you know. So I added in the father of lies. The God of this world, the father of lies, has blinded the mind and is the cause of unbelief about who we really are. Right? That's why it's so important to identify this father, and we need to know when he's speaking. We need to know, when is he speaking? Now, like I said, at first, the break might not go on, you know. But you'll begin to feel it, that it's violating your own love. You'll have a feeling inside. You say, oh, you know. Then you get into the law. Well, that's not good, and I better go into counseling, you know, or something. And don't worry about it. All I'm saying is, listen. Have a listening ear to hear what is coming off the tip of your tongue. And then you say, well, why? What's my problem? What's the big deal here? That's what I say to that myself all the time. What the hell's wrong with you, Nevins? It's not this one doing it. This one's saying, you're fine. We need an angel, I guess, on this side. Well, what the hell's wrong with you, Nevins, in hell? And you can feel the absence of love. You just feel it. It's really a feeling. So this God of this world, and we've been praying to him our whole lives, God of this world. Because if you're praying for something to change in this world, you're praying to the God of this world. So it snuffs out the light of the glorious gospel of Christ so that it is unknown to your innermost being. That's what it says in Corinthians, clear as day. It smothers it. So we've got it. We want to identify what is smothering who we really are. And so hopefully now you're with me and it's feeling a little more comfortable, right? You can, maybe you'll pick up a little pinky, you know, and say. So Lois, I loved it. I didn't get a lot of likes when I put this on my Facebook, but the first thing she said after this is, face your demons, and the first thing to do is look in the mirror. Right? So, what is it? You know, we've grown up to believe that the devil's down there managing hell, and he's got imps running around, you know, but he never burns up, and he's going to get you. Well, if you think the devil's going to get you, he already has. He's the one that manages your fears for you. That's who manages your fears is the devil, right? Yep. Yeah. Isn't that something? We've been trying to do it. Jesus said in John, sin was unbelief. And again, we think sin's a bad word. It's just simply unbelief. So it's just a misunderstood word. But everything that man does in separation is sin. Everything. Because you're in a consciousness that's separate. You're in a consciousness of unbelief. You just really haven't come to your own at the level you need to. And it's like Gary said, when that cracks open, I love what Norman Grubb said one day. He said, once caught, no escape. Buddy, you open that door and you're going to get sucked in. It's not your choice. It will happen. It will. It'll just like that. And it's going to be exposed. And all hell breaks loose. I'm telling you right now, it does. So pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Okay? The serpent on the pole. Here we go. In Numbers, this is amazing. It's amazing. The Lord said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten by the serpent, every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon the serpent, shall live. Hello. Holy smokes. That's just what I just said. And there it is. You've got to look upon your serpent to live. You've got to know what stands in your way of your reward. You better know it intimately or it's going to trick you. I'm telling you right now. It'll trick you. Now, believe me, I know personally. I know. I go in and I run a business with a whole pack of demons in there. And I've got to practice being love to them. I get a lot of practice. Because, I mean, they got lots of problems, okay? They do. And then I come home to my lovely wife. By then, by the time I get home, I'm telling you, I'm on the itch, you know? Then my wife comes in. Mike goes, oh, how'd things go today? I don't want to talk about it, right? Because if I've done something to one of the peeps, and we love these guys, well, what did you do? Yeah, you might have, you know, she wants to protect them, right? So that's okay. But I know now not to come home and say nothing. I just don't say anything. Oh, it's fine. No problems, you know. And my wife's a lovely person. I mean, everybody that knows her, she's got thousands of friends, right? And they all want a piece of her, and that's fine. They can have a piece of her. I want to read that again. The Lord said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set upon a pole, and it shall come to pass, it will happen, that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And so Moses made a serpent of brass, and he put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Where are you at when you're not seeing this? It says you're still a human being. It says you're still a man. And if you're a human being, you're separate from God. God's not a human being. We are sons of God. We are sons of love. Big difference. Human beings are separate. They're running around here seeking whom they may devour. And they're all roaring lions. And they're supposed to roar. So why are we judging them for doing what they're supposed to do? Won't that help your judgment? Why are we judging lions? They're supposed to roar. They're going to devour each other. They're going to kill each other. Right? That's why there isn't any plan on this earth that's ever going to work, folks. And it's not supposed to. Everyone must swim through the ocean of time. Everyone. Everyone. And so we got to quit coming up with our hell management plans. Okay? I'm just telling you, you're wearing yourself out with that, folks. Just forget it. Whatever you need will unfold when you need it. And it's not never out in the future. And the reason you believe in the future is because you haven't let go of your history. Now you're in deep trouble. Right there, because you're on both sides of nothing. You're going nowhere fast, right? You're carrying this bag of your history around and thinking about the future all the time. And do you ever rest and enjoy the moment? Hell no, because that's where you're at. Thank you, Lois. So the person you think you are is your enemy. Who you really are has none. That's a big thing to swallow. So once you have crucified or lose and or realize your enemy, you're on your way to victory. Once that door cracks just a little bit and light comes in, just a little bit, as Gary said, thank you, just a little light comes in, he'll start hollering, okay? He's going to holler more, right? Get excited. I'm telling you, every time before our meetings come, because we meet about 5 times a year, about 2 weeks before, the noise is unbelievable. It's noisy. Everybody's clacking, things are breaking, and I've just learned to crack a smile. Let's say, this is going to be really good. You know what? Must be you got something good for us. So there are other names for the devil, Satan, the father of lies, the god of this world. It's all created by our own mind. Where does this happen? It happens in the middle of hell that you're God over. You're playing God. When you've got a hell, you've got a God, and you've created both of them, and none of them are real. We play God over our hell. We become God, trying to control our environment. Right? Never satisfied. Always wanting more. So this is the place where you're trying to control your world. Your world, your personal world. Right? And everyone has a different one. Isn't that something? What is the world out there? It's our version of unbelief is our world. Now, I was supposed to get a book and read something out of it to you, but I know it.
Can we turn the volume up? We just got a call that people can't really hear very well.
Well, there's no way to turn it up. Everybody said I wasn't speaking loud enough, so I'll try to talk. Am I talking loud enough back here, Rex?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, it's all on. You can't. There's no volume.
There's no volume.
I'll try to speak louder. Okay, a little story. Martin Luther translated a little book that they found in a cave in the 13th century. And I've got a whole message on this book, by the way, that I shared in Australia. And the book is entitled A German Theology. It's called Theologia Germanica. So that doesn't mean nothing, but it's just Martin Luther's translation of this book. This book has become so popular, it's been translated 200 times. But the church will have nothing to do with it. Because out of that book, Martin Luther wrote a great book, which is what convinced me there was no such thing as free will, and it's called The Bondage of the Will. When you're in hell, there's nothing free going on.
Amen.
You might get something free at Kmart, but that's it, okay? And it won't be enough, I'm telling you, okay? You'll be back the next time the light's flashing, okay? You always show up for the blue light special, right? It said, in this book, it had no title, because back then, and it had no authors on it. Because at the time, if they were fined to such a book or had an author, they'd take you out in the street and slay you. And it came from a little group that they discovered were called the Friends of God, and they'd met in these caves. And there was a passage in there that said, self-will is the most widespread commodity in hell. If there were no self-will, there would be no hell and no devil. Pretty amazing little truth, isn't it? If there were no self-will, there would be no hell and no devil. We're sticking a knife now. Right? Bruce wrote a statement on Facebook that says the same thing. He says, if you have a hell and a devil, you created them. Along with that God, you created in your own image. Pretty powerful. Bruce gets a lot of backlash on her, but he's the most loving, nicest guy I've ever met. Okay? Some of you know Bruce, who are on Facebook. So if you got a hell and a devil, you created them. Along with that God, you created in your own image. If we have a hell, we're playing God automatically. Because what are we doing? Trying to control. And the God of love is not omnipotent, and he's not omniscient. I'm just telling you right now, there's no such thing as power. Because if there was such a thing as power, then you got to have two. And you're back to duality. You have to have two. And one of the most wonderful teachings I heard from Joel Goldsmith was the revelation of no power. There is no omnipotent God out there. That's your God. Because love, perfect love that only dwells in this moment, never is trying to control you. Never. That's why there's nothing going on out in this world. God's doing nothing with this world except judging it in righteousness and just seeing himself in every man. That's all he sees. And he can't see anything else. But we do when we turn on the news. That's why I got such a kick out of that plane that disappeared. I just said, well, I have to laugh because I know no one's lost in the kingdom of God. There's no loss there. Nothing's out of order in the kingdom of God. Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Boom. The door opens. The light comes in. And immediately the serpent driveth him into the wilderness with this guy. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan. Now, 40 days is all over Scripture, and it's pretty significant. Actually, we could share a couple hours just talking about 40 days. But the number 40 represents your life in hell and destruction. Now, just go in Scripture and study it a little bit. Oh, the Egyptians. 40 years wandering around Mount Sinai, worshiping a god of reward and punishment. Hello. Moses, 40 days on Mount Sinai. What? Developing a hell management plan. He came down with the law, which was God's emergency brake, so we didn't devour each other completely. Right? Noah, 40 days in the ark. The whole story, I mean, people are arguing about whether it was a global flood or a local flood. Forget all that stuff. It was a story about man drowning in a realm of passing time. Because if you believe in passing time, you're afraid. If you believe in passing time, you believe in the future. And you've got to have a history if you believe in passing time. You have to have both of those. There's no such thing as passing time. Eternal life is eternal in this moment, and that moment never changes. And we have a God that doesn't change. And so the reality of who we are is complete in him. Amen. Now, so what do we got to do? This is the guy that's got to die on the pole in order for us to understand it. Hello. Should I toss him around? Should we feel him? Get hug him? Get intimate with him? Okay. Nobody's going to go around and say, I am Satan. I am the devil. You know, nobody's going to do that. And it's true, you're not. But you sure as hell act like him. So, thank you, Gary. You gave me the button to push. Out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So your tongue tells you where your consciousness is. Exactly where you're at. So when you start confessing it, you're on your way out. Just confess it. Diane and I have a wonderful relationship now. We know this message. We've understood this message. And so forgiveness is out in front of us, right? It's out in front of us now. We know this guy. Yeah, sometimes there's twins, you know. You know, like stir up quite a dust storm. My little dog, Lucy, this is one of her toys. She's got a red wagon with high wood rails on it, and there's about 100 toys in there. And she goes through that thing like a kid, throwing this toy and throwing that toy until she finds the one she likes. This one's pretty wore out. So this is one of her favorite ones. It's got gnaw marks on the front here. So step one is to be delivered. You've got to lay down your life every day. You've got to lay down your desires, your ideas of what you think you need. You've got to lay it down every day and accept what you have is enough. That's when the well will never run dry. That's where the well never runs dry. It's always dry in the future because you're not even there yet. And so there's a verse in Leviticus, and I never find too much revelation in Leviticus, but thank God we found one verse, okay? And they shall say no more, but they will offer sacrifices unto devils, after whom they've gone whoring. This shall be a statue forever unto them throughout their generations. Now I'm going to give you the Moose AP now. And you shall no more offer sacrifices unto devils to whom you have gone whoring. Because this has been your testimony up till now. When will you believe who you are? When will you crack the door? And I believe most of us here have cracked that door. It's not a work that you do. You can't become who you already are. We've just got to unravel all of this stuff that's been going on up here that we've been taught over and over and over our whole lives, that we've promoted, right? And that's the work. It's a work to realize you can't do anything to make yourself different than who you are. That's a lot of work, isn't it? Because there's so many things standing in the way that we've been taught that we don't understand. So there is sin, and it's a word again that's been used incorrectly within history and within religious circles that we've rubbed up against. But it would be good for us to understand what it is according to Jesus. And he defined it again. He simply said sin is unbelief. He said, I've got to leave you now. Well, why? Because they were worshiping the icon. They wanted to grab his flesh. They wanted him to heal him. And Jesus wasn't a healer. I'm just telling you right now. It said he spoke the word unto them. You look in the passages. He spoke a word unto them. The word is, you need to be healed here, not in your body. Forget your body, guys. Forget it. Let it go. They're not saying go out and drink rat poison. But just, can you let it go? Can you be satisfied where you are right now? This is where the healing needs to take place, right here. And if something follows that, praise God, but please don't start a church, okay? All right? Because that's what's happened. And we got all different kinds of versions of them. I went from United Brethren to Baptist to Bob Jones University to Fighting Fundamental Baptists to Pentecostal to Episcopal, to Charismatic Episcopal. And then finally I threw my hands up one day and said, none of us is working. And all of us that's been around a while have probably got our journeys too, right? And it was part, and I believe it was absolutely necessary. But you come out of it someday, folks. You come out of it, you do. And so quit crying over spilt milk. It's over. And some person was talking to me and something had happened to him with an ex-husband, you know, 20, 25 years ago. And they still said to me, I was given an injustice. I was handed an injustice. Would you really want to carry that around? Who's carrying that around? This guy. You want to carry that around for 20 years? Get over it. That's history. There's no such thing as history. So he said, I must leave you so the Spirit will come and guide you into all truth. So the man had to go. He had to leave. And it will teach you about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin because you don't believe in me. Here I was all around you all the time and I took care of everything you wanted, but you still didn't believe in me. You still didn't hear me. And that's where we're at when we're dealing with this guy. We're not hearing, okay? We're not really hearing. So that's why I think it's important that we're intimate with it so that we know his voice. We know when he speaks. He spoke in the garden to Eve. And what happened? The fall of man began with a question. Hath God really said you're the Son of God? Are you sure? Are you really sure you're the Son of Love? Look what you did. Look where you come from. You've been told you're no good your whole life. So you might as well live up to it, right? Many examples of that, right?
Yep.
We hear it in church. About sin, because you do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I go to the Father who's judging the world in righteousness, right? I go to the Father. And about judgment, because the prince of this world has been judged already. So do we believe who we are? The serpent man who you created is your devil. When you see it crucified, all that stands against yourself, capital U, your personality, your ego, this concept that you have of yourself, you will begin to live. This is why you can only sin against yourself. You can only sin against yourself. Now, who is yourself? It's you and your neighbor. So if you sin against your neighbor, you sin against yourself. But you can only sin against yourself. And the source of it is here, in between your earlobes, right here. So in your world, and Gary, thank you, you helped me with this. You said this morning. In your world, your definition of your world, you are what you see. You are what you judge. You become your own judgment in your world. Now, is that world real? No. But it's your world. But you become that thing in your world. Job said, that thing which I feared has come upon me. So I want to give you a really, really good example. And this is what I mean by intimacy, by understanding and seeing this intimately. So one day on Facebook, I think Gary and I and Bruce, and we said love too many times in a row. We just did it too much. And one guy went berserk. I'm going to call him Joe. I know his real name, but I'm going to call him Joe, okay? Joe was saying, well, all you love huggers out there, love, 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 love. You know, it's just all you say, you know. Then he said to me, what would you say to a girl that was raped? Now, this is why I don't like to take questions. Okay? Because I didn't have the answer. I'm not the Bible answer man, folks, okay? So if you got questions, ask Gary. But, and I'm going to tell you, 90% of the time when somebody asks me a question, it might take me a week or longer to answer, because I won't say anything until something comes to me that answers the question. I'm not an arrogant SOB, okay? I played that role, and I've learned to wait and listen. The answer came, and it's unbelievable. So what would you say to a girl that was raped? Jesus answered us when he said to those who were accusing the adulterous woman, "If you're angry with your brother, you're a murderer. If you look upon a woman, you've committed adultery with her." What was Joe seeing? A raper and a victim. When you look out into the world and that's what you see, you're the rapist and you're the victim. You're both. You're both. If you're looking out there and that's what you see, you've done it yourself in some capacity. And so which of you can look at the writing in the sand and say he can cast the first stone? That's how Jesus answered. That's a hard message to hear, guys. That's hard to hear that. It's very hard to hear, isn't it? What did he see? How many times people go through terrible things in their lives? Terrible things in their lives. And years later, they say, "Oh, I could see how God used that now in my life." And I'm not saying this is a good thing, guys. I'm not saying that at all. Okay? I'm not saying go, you know, start doing it. But what do you see in your world? What do those people need? They need to know their love. That's what they need to know. They need to know their love. They don't need to be accused, and certainly don't accuse me because I want to love everybody, that I'm supposed to go in and try to fix this. It might take years. I know it's hard to hear that, but it's really true. What do you see in your world? Gary told us this morning, do I look at a drunk and see a drunk? Or do I see a son of God? Do I see a son of love? Do I judge what I see, or do I love what I see? It has to start with us. It's got to start. And if you don't have the answer, go within and ask and say, "Father, teach this to me. Teach me. I don't understand. That's why I don't like, questions on the spot. You know, I want to give you a good answer if I have one. I don't want to give you my answer. I don't want to shoot from the hip, you know? Because I'm telling you, I've read the Bible through 100 times, and I didn't get it. Now, it was good. It's all up here. And so now the Spirit's using me. They're using all that. It's bringing it back to my memory now in the right way." Mm-hmm. So we use an example of somebody who's murdered. To me, that's worse. But he said, if you're angry with your brother, you're a murderer. Didn't he bring it home? They didn't like that. So you say you believe in God. So does he. It says it in Scripture. You say you believe in God, but so do all the devils. Well, who are the devils? Religious minds running around the face of the earth. Yeah. It's tough, isn't it? It's tough to hear. You say you have peace, but you live in unbelief. You speak for unbelief, and you're praying to the God of this world. Offer up prayers or thoughts continually about those things that trouble you, yet you say you believe in God. Well, listen, there's no God out there. You are God expressed in the earth. Revelation, when this really hit me one day, you read through the passage, it said, "Behold, the kingdom of God has come upon you." Well, he cast the devil out of him. Well, he did. This thing didn't squall and bawl and run out on the ground and squirm around. That's not what happened. He spoke the word unto them, and they were delivered. He spoke the word unto them. The devil is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But what is that? What's the roaring going on? It's the gnashing of teeth. Same thing, gnashing of teeth, right? Rah, 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 rah. I don't like this, and I don't like that, and this person needs to do this, and I wish this person would do that. Yeah, gnashing of teeth. Yeah, that's this guy again. At least know what he sounds like, right? So you can start to deal with him a little bit. We can't make hell a nicer place. But we do. We want to. So what are the appearances doing all the time to us? Jesus said, "Judge not by appearances." But what do the appearances do? The appearances trigger thoughts in your mind. That's what's going to happen. So if you can't handle it, go lock yourself in a room for a month. Don't answer the phone. Don't turn on the TV. Have your meals delivered. That's what Howard Hughes did. He died. He was so afraid, he locked himself in a room, peed in a milk jug, had his food delivered to him because he was afraid to death. The guy was a billionaire. What good does money do him? Had no relationship with anybody. The devils are going to devour each other, guys. That's what they do. I put a post on, and it was the first time I sort of met Kay on Facebook. It says, as long as you believe you're a man, you're going to suffer. And you're on your way out of here. Every man's going to die. Every man believes in death. They're not going to make it, folks. There isn't one human being that's going to make it. Because there is no such thing as a human being. Yep. And you can't hold up hell and destruction forever. Okay? There's no such thing as a human being. You are the Son of God. Full stop. Put on the. You might be a cruise ship. It might take you a while to slow down on that. Big difference. Son of the living God. You are immortal. Eternal. You are love. Full stop. That's what you are. So you've got to know this guy, that he's the one that's standing in your way. He's got to get up, climb up on that pole and die. He's got to die. Every man that looked upon him lived. And guess what? He wasn't a man, and he found out he wasn't a man. So who's the prince of this world? Wherein's in time past, passing time, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversations in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Whoops. I think I just said it again. There's the whole message wrapped up in one verse, isn't it? The whole message wrapped up in that verse right there. Clear as a bell. And I didn't even change one word. When there is fighting among you, everybody loses except the ego. this imposter. He's the only one that wins. And when you begin to understand he's your enemy, this person you think you are, we start dealing with him. Right? Now, how do you deal with him? Withdraw. Don't resist. Let him speak, but know his voice. And I believe, when this started happening to me, I'm just telling you, it was noisy. Because it was almost like I had an out-of-body experience one day when I was on a tirade. And I told this story on one of my recordings. Because I've got one brother who works with me. And he's a genius, but he's pretty passive. And we've got this computer system I talked to you about up at the office. It's got to be running 24/7. It manages our websites. We've got 10 websites, and it manages all this stuff, our phone systems, all this stuff. And we'd built a new building, and I hadn't had the generator hooked up yet. I signed a task to my brother. And we got a generator in. Well, he ordered the wrong one. And he was afraid to come and tell me he ordered the wrong one, and it sit there for a month. Guess what happened? The power went out during the day. And we bring in thousands of dollars worth of business a day through the phones. They come in, you know, hello, let me give you some money. You know, hello, you know. Guess what happened? We didn't get any calls that day. I went in there, my brother was sitting there at his desk reading a manual about something other than the generator, and I lost it. I absolutely lost it. Before I lost it, I said to myself on the way to the door, you're not going to lose it, Mike. Keep it together, Mike. You're not going to lose it, Mike. Keep it together. I spun around, and he took off. I knew better. Do you see what I mean? That's all I'm talking about, guys. We just got to know the difference. It's not who you are. I'm not saying this is who you are. But you got to know when he's speaking. Know it. And I've had other things happen since then, and I'm doing a lot better. I'm doing a lot better. And you know why? It's because I don't want to hurt people. I really have, my heart's becoming softer, and I don't want to hurt people. I don't care what they do to me. I've told people that one of my most important guys that works for me is, he's pretty confident in himself, and he made a huge mistake on a job. We'd went in and we've got this new ballast system that's really complicated, and he went in and programmed it all. We got it all ready to ship out, and he realized we programmed it wrong. We had to pull the whole shipment back, cost thousands of dollars, and reprogram everything. Because when you, this computer sealed up in a dust-proof package, and it's got to be protected for its electronics. It's a motherboard. It runs our lights. We had to tear everything apart, unbox them, pull it all apart, throw everything up in the air in a pile again, and start over. I didn't say a word. And he came to me, he says, well, I'm sorry. I said, Paul, you do a good job. And I'm glad you're here. We need you. I said, let's try to come up with something so we don't do that again. And I literally said, well, as long as we can afford it, you know, and obviously we can, we had to, you know. But I tell my guys all the time, I don't want to die next to a pile of money. And I'm never going to die, but I don't want to leave here next to a pile of money. That's what I mean, okay? That's not my goal. I want to have relationships with these guys. I want them to know who they are. I want them to feel like they're owners and they're part of this and that they're part of the growth. And I want them to have this business if they want it. I've told them many times, I said, if you guys want this, I'm going to figure out some way for you to have it when I decide I don't want to do it anymore. And that's my heart. I really want to do that. I'm certainly not going to give it to some nephew or niece that's going to run it in the ground. But I really would like to do that. So, Paul said, be not conformed to your world. He said this world. Let's make your word personal. We really need to. What is your definition of the world? What do you see out of order? What do you see that's not in your world? What isn't there right now? That's your world. He said, be not conformed to your world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. Get to know this guy. So you can start to choke him off. So he climbs up the pole, right? And when we looked upon the pole, when a man looked upon the fiery serpent, he lived. Isn't that an unbelievable verse? Huh? Now, do you know that Jesus became the personification of the serpent in the wilderness? He died as the serpent on the cross. He died as a man on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? He thought he was forsaken, didn't he? He thought the Father had forsaken him. He cried with drops of blood. He went through suffering. He went through hell. He said, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Praise God. Right? And when he came out, he was the Christ, the risen Lord. Right? Thank God that vicarious atonement is just something we have to see. We don't have to nail ourselves to a cross, but you do in your understanding. This guy's got to be nailed to the cross so that you can live. Wow, isn't that unbelievable? So you can live. So you can begin to live the life that you already have. It's unbelievable truth. In John, it said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. You're the I, and you're the me. If I be lifted up, if everything I think about myself gets crucified, what you think about yourself is your enemy. If everything you think about yourself, your personality, your individualism, you know, I'm not anybody special. I'm no one special, guys. I've got lots of stuff to do. Okay? I'm here because I've been called to be here. I was drug in here squealing and kicking. It took 2 years for me to decide to do this. I had a ministry and it didn't work. One day God told me there's no such thing as your ministry. I packed it up. Closed it down. Whoops. Sorry. That's just what happened, you know. I said, okay. Packed it up. My wife said, I need some light bulbs, and here we are. Got a $20 million a year business now, trying to manage. That's what I got out of it, right? I should have stayed there. Nobody was paying me, but at least I was enjoying myself, right? And I am today. So, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men to me. And he said, signifying what death he should die. Now, is Jesus better than you? This is signifying what death you must die. The people answered him and said, well, we've heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. Why sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Well, who is the Son of Man? The serpent in the wilderness. It's the Son of Man. Do you want to come out of your wilderness? Do you want to give up your hell management plans? With some of us, it's tough because ours is pretty nice. Yeah? Some of us got some pretty good hell management plans. They look good. And he said, and this is what's amazing, because John was talking about the scriptures about Moses. This wraps it, ties it all up in a nice little bow for you. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. This is John's description. Even so must the Son of Man, who you think you are, be lifted up, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. There it is again. How many times have we got to say it? It's there again. The same message. It's there again. That you might have, possess, own eternal life. That you might enter into this moment of where you have all things for life and godliness. That you might dwell there in peace and know who you are. The eye that you think you are, your enemy, must be lifted up, and it will draw you under yourself. The guy you think you are will die, and you'll become that eternal being. Now I'm going to quote Kay. I'm going to drag her into this a little bit, okay? So I've got an accomplice. See, so if you don't like this, see Kay too, and see Lois afterwards, okay? So don't just beat me, you know. But I loved what she said. And we were talking, she responded to my comment about every man's going to disappear. And she said, the axe has been laid to the root of a people thinking they're human, mortal, finite and limited. God is the infinity, eternality, incorruptibility, and immortality of your being. God our Father is. Now you say you want that, right? Yeah, I'd like that. He says that too. He'll say that too, right? You got to know the difference, because he's going to jump right on there with you. He likes to have a buddy, right? He'll say it too, but don't let him fool you, because he's a hypocrite. This guy's a hypocrite right here, right? He'll start speaking and spitting out stuff the next week or something, and you'll say, whoa, where'd that come from? And that's a great start. If you can just do that, if you can just say, whoa, what the hell's that? You know, that's what I did when I tore after my brother about the generator. And I didn't punch him or hit him, but the guys that were watching us thought I was gonna, because, man, I was mad. 30 days we sat there and nothing happened. So I got my button. So we can't really talk about another person, guys. You must go into the wilderness yourself. This is a personal journey, right? Don't say somebody else needs it, because he's the one saying it. Yeah. That's how tricky this is, okay? If you're saying somebody else needs it, it means you're not there yet, okay? So just watch your tongue, okay? I'm trying to help you now, guys. I know I'm going to run out of here when I'm done. You can't love your neighbor yet, because we're still consumed with our fears and all the things that we want to see change in your world. And we really can't be trusted yet with our neighbor. Not yet. So now, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge of the fear of the Lord. And it shall make you, of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, that you will no longer judge after the sight of your eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of your ears. But with righteousness shall you judge the poor, and reprove with equity the meek of the earth. And you will smite the earth with the rod of your mouth, and with the breath of your lips you will slay the wicked. Now, then that doesn't sound good. But let me tell you how you slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of the loins, and faithfulness the girdle of your reins. We slay the wicked with unconditional love and righteous judgment. It's an all-consuming fire that burns up all those things that stand against us. Now that's good news, isn't it? Thank you. All right, thank you. Okay, guys, we'll see you this afternoon at 2 o'clock with another round of Gary Sigler. Huh?
The food's not here at 12:30.
That's okay. Well, we're done with the message.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're going to say goodbye to those out in webland. You streamers, hello, goodbye. We'll see you at 2 o'clock. Thank you.